Pastor Rick, this morning I was in kids' church hanging out with the kids and with Noah and Phoebe and Ezra this morning, so I wasn't in here, but I read Rick's notes from this morning, and he ended with what we're going to start with tonight, which was 1 John 4:8. And so we're going to read, to start off with, we're going to read 1 John 4:7-8, and then I will explain to you what you're going to do with this, like I said, so you can be aware and kind of have an idea as to where we're going and what we're doing with it. So, okay, 1 John 4:7-8, I'm going to go ahead and read it, and while they're finishing passing things out, thank you very much, y'all. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Okay, so you can be seated. Now, that is an important verse to understand what we're going to be talking about tonight and what we're going to do with these papers that they're handing out to you. Thank you so much. Okay, on these papers, notice you have one side that has a blank, and it says blank is patient, blank is kind. I learned from Sticky Lessons that the more that you're involved in things, then the more, do you need more? Okay. The more that you get involved, the more likely you are to remember. So when we have time at the end, while the song is playing, you're going to write God on the left side of this paper, because God is love, and all of these things on this paper are descriptions of love from the Bible. So the Bible's definition of love. So at the end later, you're going to write God. So God is patient, and God is kind. And God is not jealous. Now, we're going to talk about, go into a little bit more depth about these things. The other side, now, this is the challenging part. Somebody told me this years and years ago, and I have never forgotten it. I wrote it in my Bible just because it spoke to me so much. On the other side, you're going to put your name. So Shannon is patient. Shannon is kind. Shannon, don't put it down. Does not demand, notice there's a little line there because his or her. So Shannon does not demand her own way, okay? So this is what we're going to be talking about. So I'm telling you this now so that as I'm talking, the challenge for this week is going to be to pick one thing. Now, as we're talking, the Lord might highlight multiple things that it's like, oh, we need to work on that, and we need to work on that, and we need to work on that. But listen, thankfully, God in his great mercy does not give us an overhaul all at one time. Like, I mean, when we first get saved, we become a new creation and old things pass away and all things become new. But it is a process that God works in us. So if you look at it and go, oh my goodness, I need all of these things. Okay, that's why we're going to focus on one thing this week that the Holy Spirit highlights. And you're going to ask the Lord to help you. And we'll talk about this at the end. But like if the Lord highlights patience, you're going to, every day, Lord, help me to be patient. Show me how to be patient, Holy Spirit. Remind me, and we're going to talk more about that. Okay, so 1 John, we established that God is love, okay? Now, John 13:34, Rick also talked about these verses this morning, but it's a good review, and it goes into why we're talking about what we're talking about. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now, this part is the catcher. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. So that's why we have this, because we need to be reminded. In the same way that God loves me, I'm supposed to love other people. Okay, that'll cause you to realize you need more of Jesus. Okay, 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." All of us need more of that. And then we're going to cover these verses, and we're going to go thing by thing by thing and kind of define them and give some explanations of them. So 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, I think I actually have this in New King James. Can you put it in New Living? Because that's what it is defined over here. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I think I kind of we're kind of going back and forth between New King James and New Living, but that's okay. Here. The whole assembly, that can't be right. Oh, that's Chronicles. First Chronicles. Okay, First Corinthians. I'm going to read it from New King James Version. That was my fault because I threw that at him. Okay, love suffers long and is kind. Now, that word also means love is patient. Okay, so I have up here, I didn't make copies of this for everybody. If you have the YouVersion app, I put my notes on there. And if you want one of these afterwards defining the words that we're talking about, you can grab one. But I didn't make copies for everybody. So, love is patient. The word patient means to be long-suffering, to be of a long spirit, to patiently endure. Okay, so it also means able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering, get this, without becoming annoyed or anxious. All right, that is hard. So I'm going to read that part again. Able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Help me, Lord Jesus, because I need to grow in patience. So love is patient. So Shannon, because I have the love of God abiding in me and because I'm supposed to love like Jesus loves, Shannon is supposed to be patient. So that's a work that the Lord is working in me. It's a work in progress. Kind. Let me just hear from y'all. What do you think of as the definition of kind? What does that word mean? Nice. Okay. Anybody else? Merciful, okay? Giving. Okay, all of these are good answers. Well-meaning, yes, thank you. Yeah, good. Okay, so kind actually means to show oneself useful, to act benevolently, or well-meaning, which to me is encouraging to me because to be kind, sometimes people think, well, that's just the people that are naturally just nice people. Now, listen, honestly, some of us, and I'm saying to myself, because I am naturally more laid back. So typically, now, not all the time, this weekend was one of those times that I just had to get over myself a lot. We'll talk more about that later. But some people, it just comes a little bit easier to them to just be nice. You know, some people struggle more to just be nice. But typically, in your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. So if you are a type A personality, you are probably naturally more of a leadership, more to be organized, more to be a planner. And those of us who are more flexible and laid back, you know, that can be very good, except for when you have people that need you to plan. And then they're frustrated, you know. And so anyway, and your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. So kind actually means to act benevolently, to be well-meaning. So when you are doing something that you're trying to help somebody and you're being well-meaning, even if it doesn't seem like you're being nice, but you really have their best interest, that's part of being kind. So understand that. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Now, this word means does not covet. Covet, not coveting, was one of the Ten Commandments that God said, thou shalt not covet. But don't tie it. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, now, listen, we should not be puffed up. That word literally means blowing to inflate. If you look up in the Greek, that's what it means. It means to make look bigger or more powerful or better than you are. This is another reason why we should not, we should not be puffed up. Because listen, eventually that's going to happen, okay? And we end up inflating ourselves just to, how many of you have had somebody inflating themselves and you're thinking, nope. And they think that they're inflating themselves. In reality, what you're seeing is, you know, and then circumstances happen that deflate us if we do that. Because God will humble us if we don't humble ourselves. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because if we will humble ourselves, then God won't have to humble us. But if we won't humble ourselves, God will humble us. So, do not be puffed up. We shouldn't blow ourselves up, but be willing to allow the love of God in us. Now, this is very cool, okay? To plump up the hollow places in others. I want to show you this. 1 Peter 4, 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." So we're talking about love tonight. Now, notice there's quotes there. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Often, New Testament writers quoted Old Testament passages. And so here, if you look up the quotes in your Bible, it will show you Proverbs 10:12. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." Now, this is what is really cool. If you look up the word covers in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, what it means to plump. It means also to fill up hollows. So this is saying love fills up the hollows in other people. So if you show the first slide, Philip, this is what came to mind. Now, Rick says that I find potholes in the road when I'm driving, especially because I tend to drive further toward the grass, which to me makes sense, than toward the oncoming traffic. You know, I mean, I would rather, but because of that, I tend to, you know, hit the potholes. So I don't know if it'll come up. If it doesn't, it's okay. It's a picture of a road with a whole bunch of potholes. And then there's another picture with just one pothole. Now, sometimes in the body of Christ, we come across people that they just, it's like riding down a road with a bunch of potholes. It's like, woo, there are a lot of holes here. Like, there are a lot of, this is a bumpy road driving with these, you know, down this road with these people. But love covers a multitude of sins. It means to plump up. We all need people in our lives that love us enough to plump up the hollows in our lives, to just kind of cover over the struggles that we're having, because all of us have them. I don't know. Are the pictures not working? Okay, that's okay. For some reason, they're not working. But there's the last picture is the guys covering up. One of them that I have has, you know, have you ever guys seen them when there's potholes in the road? And they come in and they fill in the potholes with gravel so that, and that's what love does, is fills in the holes so that when we're patient with somebody who we know is getting on our nerves, that is love covering a multitude of sins. Or especially if the person is wrong. And maybe they're not just getting on our nerves because we're having a bad day or we're being irritated, but maybe they really are wrong. And in the body, we just love them. That is love covering the multitude of sins. And we all need that. And the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's very easy in relationships to do unto them what they're doing to you. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say, do unto them what they did to you. It says, do unto others what you want them to do unto you. And we all need help with that. Okay, number six. So next, does not behave rudely. So we're just going through the love chapter here. So love does not behave rudely. Now, this word rudely, somebody tell me what rude means. What does rude mean to y'all? Mean. Okay, Jude? Okay, huh? Yeah, we'll come back. What'd you say? Don't interrupt. That is rude. Yeah, sometimes I still struggle with that. Yes? Bad, okay. Disrespectful. Anybody else? Good stuff. Yes, okay. Rude, I looked it up in the definition. Offensively impolite or ill-mannered, having a startling abruptness. Sometimes rude is just not using any tact, not saying things in a way that is kind or is helpful, or it's just I'm going to say it how I want to say it because they need to hear it how I want to say it. And that's not love. The truth is, people need us to love them enough to say things in the right way, in a way that I would want to hear it, in a way that would be helpful, you know, and well-meaning. And so love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Philippians 2, verse 4 says, Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So as Christians, we're not just supposed to be looking out for number one, like, you know, the saying goes. We're supposed to be looking out for other people. And so love, or Shannon, should not seek her own. I should not be seeking my own way. I should be always seeking his way. In Joshua, when they went to battle, the battle of Jericho, right before the commander came to him, and Joshua's immediate question was, are you for us or for our enemy? And the commander said, no, but as a commander of the Lord's army, I have now come. In other words, he's like, I'm not on your side. You need to get on my side. And that's how we need to be consistently in our relationship with God. Instead of saying, God, I need you to get on my side, we need to get on his side and allow him to show us how to respond in situations and not be seeking our own. Because if I am seeking my own, I can miss what God is dealing with me about and how he wants me to act in a way that's loving. And I've had this happen where, particularly in a struggle that Rick and I might be having in a relationship, you know, in our relationship. And I really think that I am right. And he really thinks that he is right, you know. And that's where we got to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, show me. And I have had the Lord show me that I was wrong, you know. Like, you need to get over yourself, Shannon. And, you know, your attitude is wrong. I've had the Lord show me that he was wrong, too. I like that one better. You know? I'm like, okay, Lord, you handle him. You know, I like that. But that's not always how it is. So if I'm seeking my own and I can only see it from my perspective, I'm going to miss God's way. And I'm going to miss what he's saying. And that's not love. So seeking him. 8, love. Or Shannon, I'm trying not to be, is not irritable. Okay, what does irritable mean? Crabby. What? Okay, crabby. Okay, anybody else, Brother Dan?
Lack of patience.
Yes. Annoying. Okay, irritable, the definition from dictionary.com is having or showing a tendency to be easily annoyed or made angry. So listen, this past weekend, I was struggling. I don't know if it was hormonal or spiritual or tired or what it was, but I was just struggling with myself and struggling with just, I was amazed at how irritated I got so quickly. And I was like, Lord, I need you to help me. Because listen, sometimes the flesh just rears its ugly head. Sometimes maybe, like I said, it can be spiritual. It can be that the Bible says we do not wrestle only against other people, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And listen, the enemy loves to bring drama between Christians. And he loves to bring divisions between husbands and wives and families. Because the Bible says where strife and envy, there is confusion in every evil work. So if the enemy can get us bound up in strife, then he's got these open doors to come in. And so we have to be careful. And I had to repent and ask God and Rick to forgive me. So having or showing a tendency to be easily annoyed or made angry, if we find that in ourselves, I'm just going to tell you, you need more of Jesus. You need God to give you more of himself. So you need to spend some time with him and allow him to rub off on you, because he is not easily angered. He's not irritable. And I feel like this is important that people understand, because some people have the wrong view of God. The Bible says that he is long suffering. Like, his mercies are new every morning. And so just understanding how God is and how he sees us and how he treats us and how he feels about us can enable us to offer that same love and mercy to other people. Okay, 9, thinks no evil. It also says keeps no record of wrongs. The reason it says that in different versions is, in fact, because New King James says thinks no evil. But if you look, that word thinks means to take an inventory. So doesn't take an inventory of evil, keeps no record of wrongs. This is hard. And listen, there are times in relationships where you need to bring something out into the light so that it can be dealt with. Okay, that's okay. It's okay to bring something out into the light so that it can be dealt with. But to just continually just be throwing stuff back, you know, that's not, we don't need to do that as loving people. All right, number 10, does not rejoice in sin, but rejoices, or in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. I think that's, yeah, verse 6. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This is important in our world today, very important, because a lot of people in the world today say, well, God understands. God understands my heart. He understands the struggles that I have. He understands that I love this person of the same sex. And listen, yes, we can love in an agape form, but we have to understand love does not rejoice in sin. And God's word is very clear about right and wrong. And as godly people, love does not rejoice in sin. And so we have to understand that balance, because love rejoices in the truth. And the truth is what's found in the Bible. And so you might have to have some conversations with people, say, well, I thought that God loved everybody. He does. God loves people that are in hell. He's trying to call me right now. God loves, you know, he loves everybody. But love does not rejoice in sin, and it rejoices in the truth. And so we have to understand that God expects us to have the same kind of love that doesn't rejoice in sin, but rejoices in the truth. So, love bears all things. This word, it also means to forbear, to politely or patiently restrain an impulse to do something. Now, this is an important distinction. Love bears all things when it comes to patiently restraining and allowing God to lead. This does not mean that love just allows abuse, because the Bible is very clear that as a Christian, that should not happen. And so I just want to make that distinction, because people, you know, people can get the wrong idea. So as Christians, we are to patiently restrain an impulse to just lash out at somebody, to respond led by the flesh instead of the spirit. Love believes all things. This word means to have faith in, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. So as we look at these last three real quick, you can see these are spiritual. These involve spiritual things. I mean, really, everything is spiritual. Not being irritable is spiritual, because I need Jesus to not be irritable. But specifically regarding these last three, love has faith in love, the love of God, because he first loved me, allows me to entrust my spiritual well-being to Christ. So love believes in him and believes in what he says. Love hopes all things. It means to expect or confide in a religious sense, to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. So love hopes. It expects. It allows me to keep expecting to see God, to see his goodness in the land of the living, like Scripture says. And second to last, love endures all things, to take patiently, to suffer under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. This is what this means. Love endures all things. It means that my love will hold on to Christ in the midst of what I'm going through. My love for him will allow me to hold on to him no matter what I go through. Love never fails. That word means to be driven out of one's course or to drop away. One of the verses that I've prayed for my kids, because is Psalm 101. The Lord gave it to me. And one of the things it says, I hate the work of them that fall away. It shall not cling to me. Because my kids, having been raised in church, have seen a lot of people come and go. Come into the church and leave out of the church. And I don't want them focused. I don't want that clinging to them. Because we see it. But it's going to happen. We see the parable of the sower. People are going to come in and they're going to go out. But love, when I you love God, your commitment will show it with your lifestyle. Love is not a word that I can use and then go out and live my life how I want to. Love never fails because my love and my love for him allows me to stay connected to him. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It's we're all a work in progress, like I said. That's why we have to repent and we have to ask forgiveness of God and other people. But love causes me to stay connected. It causes me to be able to stay off on course. It causes when I get off course to get back on course because of his love for me and my love for him. But my love for him comes because of his love for me. It always starts with God. And that's why when we struggle, the answer to the struggle is to go back to the source. A tree does not strain to bring forth fruit. A lot of these things are fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those are fruits of the Spirit. And a tree does not, you don't go outside and see the fruit trees like going, you know. They don't strain to bring forth fruit. What do? They have roots that go down into the ground. They're outside in the sunlight. They get rain. And that's what causes them to grow. So for these fruits to grow in our lives, we need to be connected to God. We need to be in the Word. And we need to be spending time in prayer. Because when I realize that I am struggling with my attitude, often the issue is that, one, I'm under a spiritual attack, because that's a very real thing in the church. It happens. If you notice that every Saturday, your family, there's just issues, and you start arguing right before church with your spouse or with your kids, recognize the attacks of the enemy and go, no, no, you don't. You know, recognize the attacks. But second, sometimes if I see myself struggling with these things a lot, it's because I don't have enough of Jesus. It's because I am not planted enough in him. I need less time on entertainment and more time with Jesus so that he is rubbing off on me more. And so the challenge for the week, like I said, this song is going to play to end us out. Pick one thing. You need his help. Doesn't matter how spiritual you are. Well, really, if you're spiritual, you understand how much you need him. We can't be spiritual apart from him. We need him. So ask for his help. We cannot live in his love without being in relationship with him. And we certainly can't love others like this without his presence and strength and wisdom. So I want to just end it with this. As you surrender and as you ask God to help you this week, and whatever the prompt is that God puts in you, or whatever the thing is that God speaks to you that we're going to work on this week, listen to the prompts that come. Do you guys remember the hearing test? When you were like, they still do it. You put these headphones on and you hear this, and you have to raise your right hand or raise your left hand, you know, to show if you hear it or not. And you know how sometimes they're louder and sometimes they're quieter? That's sometimes how the voice of God is. Sometimes his voice is so quiet, you almost miss it. Other times, it's like, okay, Lord, I have heard that song or that verse or I have heard that same theme 5 times in the last 3 days. I get it. I get that you're speaking to me. We need to be prepared for both and watch for pictures in your relationship. God will speak to us through pictures that you have in your mind. So if you see yourself, if you're in a situation and you see yourself going and doing something for that person that you're struggling with, or you see yourself reaching out to somebody, recognize that picture is coming from God. I used to dismiss those pictures as me, but I'm learning often God speaks through those pictures. So allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as the song plays.